We extend a Christian greeting to each one here this morning. Don't think I know a lot of people here, but I believe we serve the same God, and I think we can worship together. I guess a little introduction myself. Most of you don't know who I am. I'm from Tennessee. My wife and children are not here with me today. We just had a granddaughter born this week, so my wife went to Wyoming. So she's gone, and I have the one daughter went with her. But we do have three children at home, 15, 17, and our son is 20. So the topic before us this morning is also very close to my heart, something that I deal with myself and also for my children. So it's not something that's it's just for you all this morning. Also, we as a group, as a church, the Maranatha constituency are also grappling a little bit right now how to deal with all this. So it's got all of us a little bit in this world system. And what do we do? Surely God has a plan for us, and I know He does. We need to trust Him. Yeah, this morning, I hope the message isn't too negative for us this morning. I don't want it to be. I have a burden about things of this world and the technology. I think we're probably somewhat the same place you are as far as where we stand on things, but yet I see many things that we will be facing and are facing. But the title of the message this morning, A Right Way for Us and for Our Little Ones. And there was a song, and I'll read off a stanza and one in the chorus here. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. And the chorus says, oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way, and may the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. And I know this song was made popular by a contemporary singer, but I like those words. May all those who come behind us find us faithful. And as I studied for this topic, I read a number of books and listened to a number of speakers, so not all this is original with me. I'll say that up front. But may God receive all the glory. I'll start out with something that happened recently in our area. Like I said, we're from Dixon, Tennessee, and there was a young brother that was getting married, and so before they got married, they had this little time together where some of the single young men went with him, and they went out, and they went on a camping trip. And on this camping trip, they took their boat, three boats along, and they wanted to do some down in our area, they do what they call bow fishing, where they take these boats and they have some lights and they shoot some fish at night. And they went out there at night and they were fishing. And they were on the Kentucky River, which is about a mile wide. One of these boats he went across and he was fishing on the other side. Just how we are sometimes. We think it's better fishing on the other side. And they were there fishing and going along. And they didn't realize that when they had, I guess they hit a log or something, and it was their boats were a little bit older, and the boat, it had sprung a leak from hitting this limb or something, putting some pressure on the back. And because it was dark and it was a platform over the boat, they couldn't see underneath. And they're on their way back across the Kentucky River. Like I said, it was about a mile wide. When all of a sudden they stopped to fill up the tank with gas, and without warning, the boat just rolled over in the water. Five young men on there in the water. And sometimes I think we're kind of like those young men out there in the middle of that Kentucky River. We're venturing across this river, and sometimes I think we kind of feel a little bit like they do. We get dumped out and we don't know where to go. Where are we going? I'll say a little bit more about that later on. This morning, I want to take a look at technology and some of the dangers that we as God's people are facing. I'll turn to Ezra chapter 8. Verse 21 through 23. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all of them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. We see here, they proclaimed the fast. I think it was important to them. They wanted to find a way for their children. They wanted to find a way to make it through. And so, I guess, as Ezra here, as he saw this need of marching through this strange land, and if they were going to win this battle, they needed God. They needed God's protection. And I believe that is the way it is with us too today. We as pilgrims, as we march through this land, this strange land, we need God's protection. We need God to guide us. And we also, like them, we need to fast. We need to beseech God if we want to make it through. There's so many different things that want to take us and take us away from God, take our hearts away from God. You know, we've always had technology. As we think of technology, man, it seems like we are bent on designing things to make life easy, aren't we? We like things that make life easy. And the sisters probably could say that, yeah, they do. They like all the... If we have to do the work, we usually try to find a way to make it easier. And I had to think of some of the technology of the past. I even think of the excavator. You think of this big excavator, and man can feel quite important. He sits in this little cab, and he pulls these levers and these big arms, these booms. They go out, and they reach, and they dig, or they pick up logs, or whatever they need to do. You know, man has designed all kinds of things to make life easy, all kinds of technology. And I think a lot of it is good. It's not wrong. But today, there's this new kind of technology that's kind of getting us in trouble. The digital technology, it seems almost kind of like magic, kind of like cotton candy. You know, you buy cotton candy, it looks sweet and fluffy and good. But you know, when you start eating cotton candy, after a while it gets a little dry and starts tasting kind of powdery and mostly sugar. You know, technology can be kind of like that. And I remember back in the 90s, I think it was, when we first got our first computer. We started playing with this computer and very intrigued and worked with that thing and didn't know how to run it to start with. Took, as you all know, I'm sure you've worked with them, learned how to run computers. But you know, that's been many years ago. There's been many things that happened since then. Today we have so many devices, so many things that we can use, and we don't even know hardly how to function without them. And yet, we need to be aware of the time we're spending on things like internet, emailing, texting, and now there's new things coming out like WhatsApp, Snapchat, Voxer, and many other things. There's so many things that it's so alluring, and I think sometimes we don't know where to start and where to stop. And it's bordering right on the edge of social media. We find ourselves right there. You know, in 2007, January 2007, Apple unveiled the company's newest invention, that little phone. I didn't bring mine along up here this morning, but it's a phone. It's called the smartphone. And you know, that thing has changed our world. Just be honest, it has changed our world. 68%, so I'll read some statistics, and you may correct me, maybe some wrong, but according to research I did, 68% of all adults in the U.S. now have a smartphone. It's like having a computer, a phone, a TV, and a radio in all in your pocket, that little device. Today, average person spends 3.5 hours or 3.4 hours a day on their phone. And I know probably most of us, and I hope most of us, aren't using our phones like that. And in our congregation, we don't use social media, and I understand you don't either. Praise the Lord this morning that you don't. But it's a very popular medium for today. And I guess I'm going to mention some things about social media this morning, and I guess, bear with me, sorry, forgive me for that, but I feel like that's probably the next front that's going to attack us. I feel that's something that we're going to face because, you know, as we get older and move on and young men come up, the young people you have sitting up front here, how are they going to view all this? What are we going to do? Where's it going to take us? God help us. And I appreciate your stand and our stand on technology this morning. There's so many voices out there clamoring for our attention. And the hymn writer wrote that song, "My soul, be on guard. 10,000 foes arise." You know, this morning I think there's more than 10,000 foes that we have. I think we could say 10 million foes arise. Actually, there are more than 500 million websites today, as I understand. 2012, there were 644 million websites. So many places to go, so many things to look at. You know, this morning, there are social media sites, and these sites are a danger for us as a child of God. But I'm so glad, yeah, that we have chosen not. We have a brotherhood accountability, and I understand, speaking to Brother Ernest last night, did you also do that? And praise the Lord. You know, we're curious people. We're very curious people. Jeremiah 17:9, just read that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, we can't trust our heart. John Calvin made the statement, the human heart is an idol factory. What is my idol? You know, the heart is the center of our emotions. And if we allow it to draw us away from God, it'll actually raise up new gods, other gods, to take the place of the one true God. And we actually give our heart, or we actually hand the keys over to our heart, the key to our heart when we do that. Technology is a very useful tool, but it sucks us in and it wants to be the dictator of our lives. It wants to dictate our lives. We want the latest, the newest, and the best gadget. This morning, as we think of social media a little bit, social media has its roots in narcissism, and I looked up that word in the dictionary, and it means vanity, self-love, self-admiration, and self-absorption, self-centeredness, egotism, along with many other things. But you know that narcissism, which is sort of a word we don't normally use very much, but it's a deep need for admiration and lack of empathy for others. So when we think of myself, basically it's just, you want to say it, it's just carnal nature. Isn't that what it sounds like? Carnal nature. It's been from the beginning. It has been from the beginning. That's what our old man has struggled with. Carnal nature with some pride wrapped around it, you might say. And it's the package. that we as of ourselves are. And I guess the origin of this word, there was a handsome young man named Narcissus who day after day saw his reflection in the well. He kept looking down in the well. He'd look in the well, and he just was enamored with himself. And finally, he jumped in, and he drowned. And I wonder sometimes, when we see these people walking around with these little phones, they're also bowing at the well of technology. Sometimes we drive past a park in the evening, there's a walking path. As we go through this town, Clarksville, after dark recently, or it's been a while back, we drove past there, and there was many people walking down the path, and sometimes many of them were too abreast as they walked. And every one of them, you can see the little glow of their phone. Not everyone, I think most everyone, glow of their phone. They're walking. They're looking at their phones. That's what we're doing. We're looking at phones. People are obsessed on themselves. My profile, my pictures, my feedback. And you know, human nature wants to be liked and appreciated. But God has called us to a holy living, a higher calling. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We don't want to walk like the ungodly or sit in the seat of the scornful. I think there's over 1 billion Facebook users today. And I don't think we as Christians, we want to go there. I don't think we want to be involved with that. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. You know what? This technology is a distraction. Number one, it is a distraction. And it will distract you. And it will distract me. It does distract us. I find that very much so. It distracts us from our walk with the Lord. It has a way of dragging us down, robbing us of our devotion to God. Mark 4:19 says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The lust of other things. The lust of other things. Isn't that the distraction that we're facing today? We're addicted to a distracted lifestyle. The average person checks their phones every 4.3 minutes of their waking time. And the scary part is many people wake up, and I won't ask for a raise of hand. First thing they do is they grab their phone. Do I have any new messages? Do I have any, has anybody, whatever. And there was a survey done by one of the men, the books I read. He said, he surveyed 8,000 Christians, and more than half of them said yes, they checked their phones within minutes of waking up. When asked if they're more likely to check emails and social media before or after time with the Lord, 73% said yes before. Are we addicted? What do you think? Shouldn't my first thoughts in the morning be to the Lord? Worshiping Him, blessing Him. And I know not all of us, and praise the Lord, not all of us use the phones that way. And I know one of the brethren from our church said the only reason he carries a phone is so other people can get a hold of him. And praise the Lord. I think we just really need to be careful what we're using our technology for. You know, some of the things that we can do, it helps helps us escape from the pressures of life. We find people, and I know you've seen them, they're in their own little world. I have my own little thing, and I'm in my own little world. I'm escaping. And also they use it for distraction to keep away thoughts of eternity. You see, phones have become a filler. I could use my phone to be a filler. And when you don't know what to say or what to do, you can just whip out that little phone. I read somewhere that it's become the new yawn. And what about if you're sitting there having your quiet time and your phone starts beeping? What do? You're starting trying to study. Maybe you're even studying for a message and your phone's, you know, or I should probably say devotions because that's probably more affects all of us. What do? You know, we have a choice. But you know, after a bit, we could sit there and we're still reading our Bible, but after a bit, that thing keeps bothering you because somebody's trying to get a hold of me. Somebody, and it distracts us. We can't study right. Isn't that right? You know, we say we want peace and silence and freedom. But you know, deep down, I think many of us like these distractions. Our tendency is to want to be harried and hassled and busy. The very thing that we complain about, we seem to kind of like. You know, if it's too quiet, we have to listen to our hearts. We have to listen and let God speak to us. I read one place of a place in Kentucky. I'm not sure where it was, or I'm not sure it might have been some Catholic facility. I'm not sure, but you could go there and you could spend time there and just be there, and all they did was had silence. You couldn't, no one talked, anytime. And they were there for a number of days, I understand. And you got there, and there was only roaring silence the whole time. And I don't know how we would handle that. Could we handle that for 2 or 3 days? What would we do? You know, we're so busy. We've become like Martha. We're so busy. We don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus, who we're so busy serving tables. You know, we say, well, I have a business. I have so many friends who text me and contact me in WhatsApp. And you know, I know our youth come home from Bible school and they come home from whatever. And they have new friends and they have more friends and more groups. And, you know, we hear these phones are beeping and bipping and bopping and buzzing, and there's all kinds of noises. We are bombarded from morning till night. Mealtime, family time, devotions, all the time. One pastor was asked, why do you think that young people struggle most deeply with God as a personal reality in their lives? And I would say not just young people, I think all of us. And he answered, noise and distractions. He says it's easier to tweet than to pray. In our setting, we would say it's easier to text, or it's easier to do whatever we do, to communicate than to pray. Isn't that sad? In this digital age, we learn to skim along. We skim read. We learn to read things quickly. But if we want to get things of value, I believe we need to become a scuba diver. We need to go deep. We need to take time. We need to dive deep into the Word of God to find the nuggets that are hidden in the ocean of God's Word. And you know as well as I that it takes effort. It takes concentration. But we need to get out our Bibles and read. And I would say read your Bible. Read the printed Word of God. Let's not just read from our phones. And it's just one more thing. It's too easy if something else comes in or flashes in front of us that we can get distracted. So I would say put that phone away. Turn it off or put it on vibrate. Get out the Word of God and sit down. Go somewhere where you can relax or where you can sit down and be undistracted and let God speak to you. You know, there's a lot at stake. Our joy, our peace, our relationship with the Lord. If we continue to feed on digital junk food, our taste buds will get reprogrammed, and our affection for God will eventually die if we draw away from that. Second Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Eternal. That's what we need. We want the things that are eternal, not those temporal things. The temporal, the glitzy, the superficial. The thing that the world has to offer. Christians, let's be on our guard. You know, we think of the things of the world has to offer this morning. Think of it like poison. Normally, you can take a little poison. It doesn't kill you right away. It maybe even tastes good. But if you keep eating in large doses, it eventually brings death. The world's banquet table is not for the Christian. But you know, as we eat from that table, we can develop an appetite for this world's gourmet food. I think it's good to talk about these things this morning, and I realize that maybe we're not there, but I think we need to be warned. We need to realize that we need to be careful as God's children. They're addictive. And I know even the news, this tabloid type news, is very addictive. And when you see social media, and I'm going to talk a little bit about social media, even though we don't have it, like I said, I think it's still good to talk about it. There's a lot of things posted on social media, I understand, that are not really for the Christian. People are more bold. They're, use the word flirtatious, evil communication, sensual pictures, idle words, and general silliness. A lack of respect for our conservative way of living. And plus, it's a huge time waster. So I don't think we as people want to be there, go there. And you know, I think there has been a general trend, and just in my own observations, that there has been a general trend since the digital age of is to become more lighthearted, more jokes, fun, just being silly. And I believe I think it's okay to have some fun and some laughter and jokes. I don't believe we need to be long faces all the time, but I do believe that we will be held accountable for the words that we speak, and I think we need to be careful. It tends to make us, we gravitate toward those things when we get involved. And when we laugh or when we speak lightly about God's holiness, I think we're treading on thin ice. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." So, yes, God's word tells us here that it says evil communications corrupt good manners, and that we should rather give of thanks than evil speaking or foolish talking. So how should we as Christians respond? What should we do? It's all around us. It's in our world. Exodus 23:32 says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them nor with their gods." And so I guess today I think we do not have to be apologetic that we view technology different than the world. We use methods and ways to keep that filth from coming in, or that our children could just access whatever. You know, It's only been a few short years that we've had it. And when I see my children, or I see our youth, when I see some of the, it appears that they're somewhat wrapped up in these kind of things, and it bothers me a little bit. I worry a little bit about what is going to happen. I see that these phones are becoming too important to some people. It's more than just a device to communicate to somebody or talk to somebody on the phone. It becomes an extension of who I am. It's about my who I am, my apps, my music, my ringtones, my status. Who's out there trying to influence my family and my children? There was an article recently in the Calvary Messenger. There was a man by the name of Leon Wiseltier saying, and this is one of the comments that he made. He said, every technology is used before it's completely understood. There is a lag between innovation and its consequences. I thought that was an interesting statement. I don't believe we've really seen all the consequences yet. You know, a phone is just a piece of plastic with some silicone and parts soldered together. Just something that man has made. And maybe we think, well, we're in control. It's just something in my pocket. But there seems to be a subtle influence in the background. And it's a huge money-making behemoth. And these corporations are studying ways to use this technology to capture our attention, to adjust behavior patterns. Google is watching your breadcrumb trail, so to speak, and they are tailoring or building this thing to see what you like. They have become masters of packaging this content so that our brains find it irresistible. It's a little bit like when you walk in the store. You walk into the gas station, the convenience store, and they have all kinds of snacks there in a convenient way. And they place them at just the right place. When you walk through there, you see when you go get your coffee, you see the donuts in a little one or two pack there, right beside it. And there's other things there. You know, and you just, it's so convenient. You just pick it up and you take it and you buy it. Before you know it, you have $10 or $20 worth of things you probably really didn't need. And probably the grocery store. The sisters know probably more about the grocery stores, where the things are placed and how they put in their items. They're called lead or leaders or something, where things to get you to buy. And the world has it figured out. And they are masters of that. And we, as Christians, sometimes we find ourselves just following along and just a little bit behind the world. Just be awake. Another phenomenon we're facing is what is called FOMO, which is an acronym of fear of missing out. And I hope, some of these terms, I'm not sure I know that much about. But you know, it's that disconnection and anxiety. When you get somewhere, and all of a sudden we find out we don't have service. And we can get all hot and bothered and all worried because we don't have service. We're afraid we might get left out. We might not find out the latest thing or what's happening. And yet, we read in the Calvary Messenger recently that some people don't even have time. They're too busy to read the church publications. We're living in what is called a time, it's called attention economy. Sunday morning message seems weak in comparison to internet surfing. But you know, if I was up late Saturday night texting with my friends and whatever, but I forgot to pray for the message or for the Sunday school teacher, didn't study my lesson, Sunday morning I wake up tired and I rush to church. Yeah, the message will probably be dry. And maybe things will be a little boring and the singing will be off tune, off key. But it's because I have not prepared myself for worship. I also mentioned FOMO, which I talked about that FOMO. Also, this writer mentioned the envy that social media sets off in many people. And it talks about the likes, and I don't know much about this, and maybe you don't either, and it's okay. I don't think we need to know all this, but yet there's something that people want to be liked. And you know, didn't that start in the Garden of Eden? Where did that start? Want to be like God. Didn't Eve want to be like God? And she heard they could be little gods. She ate that fruit because she thought her life would be better. But yet it did not become better. It sabotaged their relationship with God, as it always does when we listen to Satan. When we listen to him, to that lie, you can become great. Does God's word teach us that? No. We are to become small, little in our own eyes. We are to worship God. And sometimes I think we're a little bit like Adam and Eve. We think we can escape the reality of what God said in the garden, but yet we can't. Today we still live in that cursed environment. Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I read 17 and 18, yet in Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. You know, we can't get away from that. We cannot get away from the Word of God. Today, we're still living in a cursed environment, and we have to work, and we cannot be God. You know, today, the generation of this world is growing up handicapped. They don't know how to communicate. Don't know how to hold a meaningful conversation. There's so much violence, horrors, things going on. And so again this morning, how are we going to protect our little ones? How are we going to protect our families, our church in the future? And I think we as Anabaptist people, we need to be future thinkers. We need to think about the future and the future of our children, our grandchildren. Let's not feed on the husks of the corn from the swine. Let's eat from the Lord's table, from God's word. That's what we need to sustain life and health. We need to eat from his table. You know, this morning, if you're facing a difficult issue, sometimes it's easy to send a text or an email. But I think we do ourselves a favor when we actually meet face to face. Face to face, we discuss things brother to brother instead of using this media. You know, it used to be we talked to our neighbor over the fence, and we'd meet at the fence maybe and talk about it, or we'd go over and sit on their front porch and we'd drink iced tea together. But today, we don't have time. So we quick send a text. But you know, in the problem with this media, we can't get the tone of the voice, we can't get the facial, we can't get the expressions, and so we lose a lot, and things are misinterpreted, and we have a lot of maybe hard feelings. People, you know, because we weren't willing to go meet with them, because we probably didn't have time, or at least we didn't think we did. And today, when you fly somewhere on a plane, you'll see many people sitting there with these earbuds in their ears. I think that's another way of just saying, I'm busy, I'm listening to this, and you're over there. Leave me alone. Is that how we are? You know, there's a lot of good things about technology and these phones. Helps us find places, tells us where to. There's a lot of things that are really good and convenient. I don't want to make it sound like everything is bad this morning. But let me ask you a few questions this morning about technology. Has my involvement with technology, has it been moving me toward God or away from him? Think about that. Has it moved you toward God, or has it moved you away from him? Does my involvement with technology edify myself and others? Or does it build nothing of lasting value? And last, is my involvement with technology, does it expose my freedom in Christ or my bondage to technology? I think it's up to us. It doesn't have to. We don't have to be in bondage. I hope we're not this morning. I think we need to be very aware so that it doesn't put us into bondage. Job 15:2 says, "Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou castest off fear and restraineth prayer before God." You know, if we feel that our prayers are being restrained, if you feel that your prayers have been restrained, take a look at your devotion to him. Take a look at the time you're spending with God. The constant noise, constant messaging, texting. How can we have a meaningful time with God if we're constantly having to check our phones? And I know I believe with God's help we can be victorious. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." God will always make a way that we can escape. He will always help us if we seek him. But I don't think we should bury our heads in the sands. I don't think we should just say, well, we just don't want to, you know, we just don't want anything to do with it, don't know anything about it. We have to be aware that this technology is here. It appears like it's here to stay, and it's likely going to take up more and could become more into central stage of our lives as time goes on. So this morning, I think we have a battle. We have a cause. We have a God to serve, and I think we need to. Be willing to stand and to face this giant that we're facing. And if David there, we see with David when he came there to when that valley where Goliath was, and he said, 1 Samuel 17:29, and David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" And today, we have a cause. We have a reason. And then in verse 45 and 46, he says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And today, we like David, we can come and we can say, if we stand together, we can be victorious. I have a few suggestions yet. A couple of things yet here. But if we struggle in this area, one of the things I would suggest is that we get our phones out of sight, turn them off or put them on mute when we're having our devotions, when we're having our time with God. Another thing, I encourage for Sundays that we would leave our phones in our vehicles or in the house. And I know there's times we're expecting important phone calls or whatever, and those are exceptions, I think. But I feel for the most part, this technology is a direct competition with God. When we have this phone, it competes with God. And so I personally feel like we need to leave the phone. Put the phone away. I suggested, ready at our church, I wonder if we shouldn't just turn them off on Sundays, but I know that's a little bit difficult today. We're we do have a lot of communication things going on, and it's probably not possible. But I do believe when we come to House of God, it's good if we could lay down our technology, our addictions for a few hours to worship God. And there's a fairy tale told, and I hope that's okay if I mention that here this morning. But growing up, I remember this book that we used to have, and it talked about the gingerbread man. And there was this little gingerbread man that was made into a cookie or something, and the story goes that he, after he got done out of the oven, he ran away, and the people were chasing him. He was trying to catch this little gingerbread cookie as he ran along and down the road, and the man and the woman and whatever else all it was. But he came to the river, and he couldn't cross the river. And there was a fox there, and he said, "Well, yeah, I'll take you across. Just jump on my back." And so he jumped on the fox's back. And as they went across the river, the fox went deeper and deeper, and he had to go up further and further. He said, "Just jump on my head." So he jumped on his head, and it wasn't long. The fox took him, and he just snapped him up, and he ate him. The poor gingerbread cookie, the poor gingerbread man. You know, and we say, what a foolish gingerbread man. Didn't he know better? Surely he knew that he was going to get eaten. I wonder sometimes if we're kind of like that gingerbread man. We keep getting closer and closer. We think it's not going to eat us. We're going to be okay. Inch by inch. Brethren, we need to be careful. It can take us if we're not careful. If we're not awake, if we're not diligent, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones. Again, I hope I didn't come across too negative or strong today. I wasn't trying to do that, but I do have a concern for technology, for our plain people. Where are we going to be at 50 years from now or 100 years from now? So I might finish up the story about the boat I never did mention to you. I guess I left you hanging a little bit there. The boys survived. Five boys. They grabbed three life jackets. The boat went over. And they lost a lot of their gear and things, but they were okay. Another boat came over and pulled them to safety. I might speak some more of some life jackets this afternoon. Some things that we can do that can keep us safe in this storm or in this river that we're in. In our lives as we face this uncharted water as we go down the river. Let's be faithful. Let's not let the world and its toys, its technology, things like that, take us away from following God. I just feel it's just one of those things that we need to be alert. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Lord, this morning we come to you, God. We thank you that you are ever with us. You have a plan for our lives and for our children, for our little ones. This morning I pray, God, that you might give us a burden, give us a vision for the future, for the church of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for the churches here in Pennsylvania. God, you know the needs. Lord, I pray that you might just be with them, bless them, God, as they minister and as they witness to the world around them here and us, wherever we're at. Guide us, O God. Give us direction for the future, clarity, and help us to know how to be faithful in these times when there's so much of this modern technology all around us, and it wants to draw us in. It wants to take us away from you, God. Lord, help us. God, help us to be faithful. So just bless our time here together. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.